How many of you like Christmas shopping? How many of you? Yeah, you can be proud. There was more people in the first service. They were like, yeah, I do, okay. How many of you don't like Christmas shopping? That's kind of similar numbers. How many of you, this one might be a little more helpful of a question. How many of you are stressed out by Christmas shopping? Yeah, so some of you who raised your hands, yeah, you know. It's a stressful time on who to give presents to, who to not give presents to, what kind of present and how much of a present you will give to that person. It's difficult. I'm stressed out by the whole ordeal. I'm very stressed out by it. My wife takes care of most of it, but I'm still super stressed out about it. Part of it is because we will go back and spend just a couple days over in New York with our family over there. And one of our two families are lavish with their presents. And so understanding how to give to this person and how to reciprocate and how to not reciprocate, oh, it's so hard. It's so stressful. I'm very stressed out. If you pay attention to made-up holidays, this last Tuesday was Giving Tuesday. And as far as made-up holidays go, I love it. I think Giving Tuesday is a fantastic made-up holiday. Amidst the glut of Black Friday, another made-up holiday, which made it into my Google Maps, right? Google Calendar. If you tell Google Calendar now, I want to see all U.S. holidays, Black Friday is now listed amongst those holidays, which is just, I don't even think Ash Wednesday's on there. Google, Black Friday's on there. But, Black Friday has become this thing. It's like, okay, it was one shopping day. Now it's like, oh, Black Friday early. And it's like a month out. And then after Black Friday, they're like, we've still got Black Friday savings. Pretty soon, before we know it, Black Friday will grow and take over the entire world. It'll be a 365 day. We'll actually celebrate the one day out of the year. We don't have Black Friday, apparently. But amidst Black Friday and all the consumerism that we have and the materialism that we struggle with, in the midst of that, someone came up with the great idea of Giving Tuesday. And Giving Tuesday is a beautiful idea. In the midst of all of the trying and getting things, it is a day where we give to others, to nonprofit organizations, without any desire to have anything in return. It's amazing. It's fantastic. And in fact, we need it now more than ever, and more holidays of generosity like that, because as a report just on the cusp of Giving Tuesday came out, is that in this last year, the last 365 days, American giving, American generosity is at an all-time low. And I was talking with Patty about that. Part of the reason, Patty does taxes. Patty was saying in between services, part of the reason is because of the tax code change, and now you can claim a lot more, and you have to give quite a bit more before it becomes deductible. So people are saying, well, I don't have to give, so I'm not going to, right? I'm not going to get anything return out of it, so why do I have to give? Why should we be generous? Why should we be generous with people who can never repay us? It is hard to be generous, isn't it? I find it hard to be generous. Even with people who will repay me. Family members. And friends. People who can reciprocate that generosity. But why should we find our blessings in being generous to people who will never be able to repay us? As we turn to the scriptures and continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Follow along in your Bibles. The context is Jesus is still at this meal of this high-ranking Pharisee, a religious leader. If you asked an average Jewish person of the day, they would have said, this is one of the holiest people that you could be, and if you want to be close to God, try and live the way this person lived. So Jesus, verse 12, also he also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So the resurrection of the righteous, he's talking about the end of days when God comes back for final solutions, when he comes back to bring justice. In a New Testament context, he's talking about when Jesus returns for the second coming and makes all things right with the new heaven and new earth. But Jesus tells this person, this high-ranking Pharisee who invited him, don't just invite the people who can pay you back. Instead, what you do is you invite people, be generous to the people who are poor, blind, maimed, lame. They can't possibly ever pay you back. Jesus is telling them this because they had a generosity problem. They had an understanding of reciprocity. If I invite you to dinner, you invite me to dinner. If I give you a present, you give me a present. That's the first century. In fact, I have a video I'm going to show you in a second here, and it perfectly describes the first century understanding of gift giving and of generosity, this idea of reciprocity. In fact, it perfectly explains our current understanding of generosity in the 21st century. This is from the show Big Bang Theory, and here is Sheldon's view on gift giving. Right, that was their idea right there. That's our idea. That's why I'm so stressed out. In fact, that's why what stresses out about my wife's family is we go and we'll have like five, we'll be there for 4 days, and we'll have five celebrations. And at all these five celebrations, there'll be people and they'll be giving me presents and all this stuff and stuff that frankly I haven't read yet. I've had Christmas presents. I'm like, I gotta read that eventually. That was 5 years ago. Right, just so much stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, here we got you. Pie from Grand Traverse County. Here's a bowl of cherries, chocolate covered cherries. Right? I can't possibly reciprocate. And so it stresses me out. The reality is that we are terrible at receiving gifts, and we're actually terrible at giving gifts. They were the first century, and we are right now. It's hard for us to receive gifts because then we feel we have to reciprocate. Then it's not really a gift, it's just an exchange. And then we're hard to just give gifts and say, here, sacrificially, I'm being generous, I'm giving you something, I expect nothing in return. That was the same problem they had in the first century. That's the same problem we have right now, this idea of reciprocity. And Jesus says, no, when you give, give without expecting return. In fact, give to people who cannot possibly ever give back to you. In fact, I know that's one of the areas I struggle with my own salvation, is God has given me this free gift in Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. Trust that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and I will be saved. It's a free gift. Your sins are forgiven, Nathan. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west. I will remember them no more. And I go, oh, that's such a great gift you got me. Oh, what can I do to make up? Right? So I try to work out of obligation. I'm going to try and make it up to God. I can't possibly make it up to God. I can't. It's too huge of a gift. My sins forgiven, adopted into God's family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcomed into the new heaven and the new earth when Jesus returns. I can't possibly make that up. So I struggle sometimes. Am I serving God out of some sort of weird obligation, or is it out of love? Right? I love you. Thank you for doing this. I want to serve you. That's good. I have to pay you back. That's not so good. We struggle with gift giving, giving and receiving, right? Jesus says, give generously. Be generous to those who can't pay you back. Why? He says in verse 14, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. What does that mean? Why should we find our blessings in being generous to people who can never pay us back? Side note. Last year at Grand Traverse Mall at Dunham's, the store manager, his name's Chris. And Chris decided he wanted to throw a huge Christmas party for all of his employees. And so he said, okay, we sent out a notice to the employees, look, the Friday before Christmas, we are going to have this massive, massive holiday party here for you and your plus one. So just come on out, and we are going to have food, we are going to have music, we're going to have games, and I'm going to have Christmas presents for everybody. Okay, so be sure to clear your schedule. We're going to shut down early. It's going to be at 6 p.m. Mall's still open. We're going to be closed, and we're going to have this Christmas party for you. And so he's getting ready for things. And as the day approaches, he's got all the caterers, several caterers, not just one group coming. He's got multiple caterers and desserts coming from like three different places. And they've got tables set up with linens. They close the store down super early, midday, so that him and the other managers can get things set up. All the employees go home. He starts setting things up. They've got the tables. They've got games getting ready to go. They've got music playing. They've got live music. And he's got the presents. And so as the time approaches, he starts bringing out the presents and has the managers helping him out with the presents. And what kind of presents do you get at office parties and at your business parties? Yeah. All right. Yeah. What kind of presents do you get? What's that? Yeah. Ink pens, right? But here, as the managers start pulling out Chris's presents, they are amazed. They start pulling out Nintendo Switches and Xbox 360s and PlayStation 4s and 4K televisions and brand new Samsung phones and brand new iPhones and brand new laptops and brand new iPads and brand new Surfaces and tablets. And then they're like, this is incredible. This is great. He says, yeah, you know, we had a really good year at the store, so they gave us some money for a Christmas party. And then they gave me a really good bonus. And I'm using that plus a lot of my own money to be generous with the employees this year. And he says, but that's not the best part. And he takes him outside and he goes behind the store and there is a line of brand new cars and trucks. And the manager's like, this is incredible. This is going to be the greatest Christmas party ever. Haha, I know. So everything's ready and they're waiting. 6 o'clock, time of the party. No one shows up. Okay, well, maybe they're getting ready, right? He told them it was a big party, so, you know, it takes time to get ready and put on nice clothes. 6:05, nothing. 6:10, no one. 6:15, Chris is furious. And he starts telling the managers, all right, that's it. Start calling people. Start calling people right now. Tell them to get over here and get over here this instant. Don't ruin the surprise for them, though. So those poor managers, right, the poor position that they're in, get these people over here and get them over now, but don't tell them why they need to get over here. So the managers are on the phone. They're like, oh, you got to get over here. You got to come over here right now. It'll be the best Christmas if you ever come over here right now. Please just come over, come over, come over. You have to. I can't tell you why. Come over. One employee said, she tells the manager, I can't. We just bought a house and we're going to be moving tomorrow. So we've got to get everything ready for the house. Another one says, you know, I've got this plow business on the side and I need to get ahead of it. So I'm just going to plow all night long. I can't come over. Sorry. Another one just says, yeah, tonight's stay in night, Netflix and chill, click, and hangs up the phone. And every single person they talk to, those who bothered to answer their phones, it was the same thing. No one's coming. Chris is furious. He's stewing. He's looking around. And then he sees it's getting late, but the mall's still open and there's still a few shoppers going around. So he says to the managers, you know what? Just open the doors. Open the doors and start inviting people in. Invite them to the party. Yeah, we have all this food. I have all these presents. We can't let it go to waste. Just start inviting them in. So the manager's like, okay. So they open the doors and they start going out to the mall and they start asking people. And some people are like, yeah, no, thanks. I don't want to go to a weird holiday party or something. No, thank you. I don't know who you people are. But a lot start coming in. And the band starts making music. They start playing games. They start eating the food. And Chris brings out the presents, and they just can't believe it. We were here to spend money, and you're giving this to us. And what's it cost? No, this is a present. And they're beside themselves. But as the night's going on, Chris is looking around, and there's still a lot of presents. There's still a lot of food. And he says to the managers, look, get into your cars, go across the street. I want you to, and go downtown. And I want you to start inviting every stumbling drunk you can find. Bring them to the party. If you see a druggie on the side of the corner of the street, you invite that person. If you see a person who is a prostitute or just a seedy looking person, invite them, bring them here. I want to be full. I want everything. I want all the presents to be given away. And so they did. And many people said no, but even more said yes. And that night, it was the greatest party in Grand Traverse County, Christmas party that year, quite possibly in all the state of Michigan. And the employees got nothing. Everything was given away. That was obviously a made-up story. That was a parable. But if you want to go to Dunham's and get some good sporting goods, you can. But Jesus told a very similar parable. Read along with me. In chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus told a very similar parable. When one of those who were reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is the man who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And remember, he's talking about the end of days when God comes and sets up his kingdom forever and ever. Verse 16, then Jesus told him, a man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, come, because everything is now ready. But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I just got married, and therefore I'm unable to come. So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. Then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the city, and bring in here the poor, maimed, blind, and lame. Master, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, and there's still room. Then the master told the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and make them come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet. So Jesus is giving us an image of the kingdom of God, of being invited into the kingdom of God. Remember, salvation is a free gift. Trust that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. That's it. Receive the gift. I receive the gift of salvation and you're saved. It's a free gift. And he's saying, it's an invitation. I'm inviting you to come. And all the people that he thought or that should come, don't. They all have excuses. They all have excuses. In fact, the excuses are kind of interesting to look at here. The first one said to him, I bought a field. I must go out and see it, right? I'm busy. I've got time, right? Like the house. I just bought a house. I got to go check it out. I have a financial investment, and my finances are preventing me from coming to the banquet that God is setting out. How often in our lives do we allow money to be a barrier to following after God? I don't want to. I have other things I'd rather do. I'd rather be making money. Second one comes and says, well, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out, right? So this is totally subconsciously, but in my parable that I ripped off from Jesus, obviously, he had to go snow plow, right? Well, this guy has to go plow with oxen, right? I didn't realize that until like this morning. I'm like, oh, okay, this is the same kind of thing. But it's a matter of work. No, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I don't want to give my life over to Christ. I don't want to be a part of his church. I don't want to be a part of serving others generously. I don't want to. I am too busy. I'm working. I don't want to do it. It's a barrier. And finally, he had the other one that said, I just got married and therefore I'm unable to come. What does that mean? Wink. Right? What could it possibly mean? Well, there's other married couples coming to this thing. It's not just a singles-only party. Right? No, they're saying, I want to have fun. Right? We just got married. We're having fun, and we're going to continue to have fun. So, no, I'm not coming. You can understand. Yeah, I want to have fun. I don't want to trust Jesus. I don't want to follow Jesus because I think it will affect the amount of fun that I'm having. I don't want it to harsh the fun vibes that I'm getting in life. I want to have fun, and I choose fun over the truth. I choose fun over having my sins forgiven. And so the man who's throwing the party, what does he do? He first sends out, he goes, go get all the poor people, the maimed, the blind, the lame, those who can't walk, get them in, right? So they get in. It's only half full. So then he sends them out to the hedges and the highways. And that's, they're like, I can't imagine those people. They've been like, well, do you know what kind of people hang out there, right? Like, what kind of people hang out at the park at night, right? Yeah. Right? So you got drugs, you got prostitutes, you got people, you know, teenagers drinking, all sorts of shady things happen at parks at night, right? He sends them out there. He said, bring them in, and if they come, they'll come. And so they do. And that's who the kingdom of heaven is mostly made up of. It's not the people you'd expect. It's not the people who look the part. It's the lowly. It's the outcasts. It's the loners. It's you and me. So why should we be generous? Why should we find our blessings in being generous to people who can't pay us back? We should be generous to people who can't pay us back because they are the ones who are mostly going to be in the kingdom of heaven. They are going to be the ones who are mostly in the kingdom of heaven. When we are generous to people in the name of Jesus, They're going to see it. They're going to be receptive to hearing the gospel because they're broken. We're broken. And we know when you tell them, look, Jesus came and he lived the life you and I can't live, died the death you and I deserve, so that if you trust in him, your sins can be forgiven. He gives you a new life. He adopts you. He gives you purpose, meaning, and value. And when you die, you live in the new heaven and the new earth with him forever. And they look at their lives and they know the state of their lives in the midst of their pain or the midst of their poverty and say, yes, I want that. I want it. So what's the reward? I think there's three options here because Jesus, remember in verse 14, he says, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, I think there's three things. I think one is you read it and immediately you assume that God is going to repay us at the resurrection, at the end of days when Jesus comes back. He's going to say, you were generous with people who couldn't pay you back. I will repay you. And that is certainly true. But then with the parable after this, I think something else happens. These are the people you were generous to in the name of Jesus. And at the resurrection, when the new heaven and new earth, guess what? They're now in a position they can repay you. They can come up to you, look you in the eye, and say, when I had nothing, you loved me. When everyone thought I was a piece of garbage, you said I had meaning and value. You loved me. When I was an outcast, you accepted me. And who needs a bigger reward than that? But then also with this parable, what else is being repaid? What better reward is there when you are in the new heaven and the new earth, the world as it ought to be, not the way it currently is, perfection and living in beauty, and you are looking out and you can see the people that you were generous to, and because you were generous to them in the name of Jesus, maybe it was through you, maybe it was through someone else, but they're there in the kingdom of heaven because they trusted Jesus because they saw God's love through you. There's a person, and there's a person, and there's a person. We will be blessed. We should find our blessings in being generous to people who can never repay us back, because they are going to be the ones who are mostly populating the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Just a moment right now, in the quiet of your own mind, ask God to reveal to you someone, a person's name, that he is calling you this Christmas season to be generous to. Maybe there's someone who certainly doesn't deserve it. Maybe there's someone who might even not appreciate what you're doing. But there's someone that cannot ever possibly pay you back. Spend a moment, ask God. See if the Holy Spirit will reveal to you a name or two. And if you're anything like me, you're now, blood pressure's going up, you're getting a little stressed out and saying, I can't possibly afford to be generous, I'm broke. Right? That's part of the stressor of Christmas. Like, if I had a lot of more money, I would be generous to all these people, right? So how can we be generous when you're broke? Well, let's brainstorm here amongst ourselves. How can you be generous to someone when you don't have a lot of money or any money at all? What are ways we can be generous to other people when you're broke? Bake them fudge. Bake them fudge. Yes.
Give them your time.
Give them your time. Right. What else? Invite them to dinner. Absolutely. What else?
Write
a kind note. Yeah. Anybody get a letter in the mail anytime recently? You know, maybe a Christmas card. And usually, like we do the cheap thing. It's like it still takes a lot of work, but it's like, here's a picture of our family. Woo, right? Like, but a handwritten note? Like, how often do we get those in the mail or handed to us with nice words? That's incredible. What else? What are other ways you can be generous when you're broke? Yes. Take time to stop and listen. Absolutely. I didn't hear anyone say shovel snow. Collective sigh. Whoa. That's going a little too far. Right? But that's huge. There are people who die every year because it's too laborious for them to shovel snow. If you can help, right? Or mow their lawn. Not now, obviously. I didn't get my last lawn mowing in. I'm still thinking, like, maybe it'll melt out and I'll have an opportunity. It's gone. mow the lawn, give their time, as you said. Here's some that I came up with. Share a meal. Have a cup of coffee. Shovel snow. Invite to your home. And here's what I put in. Messy hospitality, right? Messy hospitality. I know. Because this is what we do. We have people coming over to the house and it's like, oh, we got to clean. So I'm cleaning for hours or days, right? Getting the thing clean. And when they show up after we've been cleaning for hours and hours and hours and hours, they show up and the first thing I say is, oh, pardon the mess. as if I will. And it, you know, you'll see, I'll do it. And I can't stop myself because I'm just like, yeah, this isn't the way I want to live, even though we've been cleaning for hours. But, you know, pardon the mess. It was much worse, trust me. pardon the mess. But you know what? Let's, as a church body, can we do this? Can we not care? Can we not care? Can we just not care? And can we say we can love each other, invite each other to each other's homes, and there's piles of paper and toys everywhere, and the cat food's all over the floor, you know, and maybe there's a little dog hair on the couch. Can we not care? And can we just practice messy hospitality, realizing that probably 80% of us live in a cluttered, messy house on a regular basis, except for when we have people over, and just say, let's just have hospitality and have messy hospitality, right? And sometimes, and you know what? I think that can be ministry too, right? You have someone over and they're like, whoa, they live just like I live, you know? Not an impossible standard that I could possibly ever reach. And then as Chris said, and thank you for saying this, is listen, you know, don't raise your hands on this, but how many of you need somebody to listen to you? How often do we have people who just don't listen, whether they live by themselves or they're alone? Diane Langsberg, a Christian psychiatrist, just brilliant, brilliant, humble woman. She's been serving in missions and ministry for years, and I was listening to a talk she was giving, and years ago she was over in a war-torn region of the world, and she was helping to counsel survivors. And after several days of hearing atrocity after atrocity, nightmare after nightmare, she went home and she cried out to God, God, what am I doing here? What can I possibly do for these people? How can I possibly help these people? I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting their time. And she said, as she cried out to God, God very clearly said back to her, you can listen. You can listen to their hurt, listen to their pain. I mean, I struggle with that, right? I struggle with that. My kids, you know, precious kids, and they want my attention, they want my time, and they're like, Dad, and I'm in the middle of something, and they want to talk to me about something that I don't care about. I could care less about. I don't know anything about this topic that you're going on. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. In fact, you know, once you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you bring them home, then if I told you that you were so interested in this thing, you would be embarrassed in a few years, right? That kind of thing. But they care. And so give the gift of listening. How many people do you know who need that gift of listening? It doesn't cost you money. It costs you a lot of time. I know I struggle with that. I just want to sit and listen. That's being generous. And so whoever God the Holy Spirit brought into your mind, whoever he has impressed upon you, I pray and I challenge you, be generous to them in the name of Jesus this holiday season, especially if they can't repay you. Be generous to them in the name of Jesus. You should find your blessings by being generous to people who can never pay you back, because those are the people who will fill the kingdom of God. Be generous in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come together and thank you for your generosity to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Thank you for your generosity to us that you sent your son, Jesus, to live the life we can't live, to die the death we deserve, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Thank you for your generosity to us that we can never repay, nor do you want us to try. Thank you for the free gift of salvation, that we can have the burden of our sins lifted from our shoulders through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for your generosity, that you've adopted us into your family, and you call us sons and daughters. Thank you for your generosity that, as the psalmist said, even though my father and mother abandoned me, Lord God, you are there. You listen to us and you care. You know the number of hairs on our heads. As you have been so generous to others, help us to turn around and be generous in return to the people that you love and the people that you care about, to the people that we see and we meet and we know, not out of obligation, but out of love and affection, walking in our dear Master and our dear Savior's footsteps. Lord, we can't do this on our own. So, Father God, I pray that you empower us through the Holy Spirit to be generous to those who can never repay us back, even if it costs us time, even if it costs us money. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.